I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Rebel Rock Podcast.
Right?
Yeah, got ya. Actually, did George didn't got confused by that, I think, when I texted him, showed it to him.
I think there were some people genuinely expecting a commentary.
I think Stu said he got confused by that. He did, yeah, he's laughing. Yeah, anyway, April Fools. We know Pete likes a bit of glory and a bit of attention, but I don't think he'd go as low as content on a Bognor game, would you?
I wouldn't, to be honest.
Ooh, fighting talk from man there. Anyway, welcome to episode 6 of the Rebel Yell Podcast, the season 22-23.
Just me and you tonight.
Oh, what a surprise. Should we do? What is it? What's the hashtag you wanted?
Hashtag pray for Pete.
Yeah, I think we need to get pray for Pete trending. He's got paperwork tonight. I don't know, do we start taking offence at this, Spencer? I don't know. Like, I've put deodorant on tonight. I've had a shower. I can't say it's got a smell. I mean, come on, Pete. I'll come back for the last episode of season.
Come
the glory.
On,
come on,
back.
We want you back. We need our threesome going again. That sounds really weird again. Anyway, right, moving on. It's been an interesting 6 weeks for the men's team. Up and down.
Yeah.
Some big victories and some big losses, as we'll talk about with most of the guests on our podcast tonight. As you know, we've got the usual from Hinch and John. Both the men's and women's managers. Stu joins us for a bit of that youth talk and change of room. We've got Lauren Dolbear from the women's team. We've got Mr. 100, Ollie Pierce, appearing tonight. Some great guests, and we've done it. We've done a good... Because normally 2 months we've done. We've done 6 weeks this time.
Yeah,
I don't think that's
well.
Too bad. Yeah, we've done well. We've got ourselves together. Right. Firstly, keep an eye out for our social medias, and Spencer and I at the ground next Saturday, we will be selling the next drop of T-shirts. For the Rebel Yell, last time we sold all 50 out in 45 minutes, so
yeah,
can we make it half an hour this time?
Yeah, come and see us or contact us if you want a t-shirt. We'll be getting some pictures out soon.
If you can't make it next Saturday and you really want one, please do send us a tweet or try and get in touch with one of us and we'll do our very best. But as I said, it is a 50 edition run. Once they're gone, they're gone. And last time, everyone loved them. We've had some great fear. We see them being worn around the ground, people even washing them. Like we ordered them as a sort of like, it wasn't risky, but we ordered them and they come out really well and
yeah,
people have washed them. But
got them in nice red and white this
yeah,
time, ready for summer.
And what is it says on it?
We're the red and white, aren't we?
Come on, you have to think about that. We designed it, Spencer. Come on. But yeah, £10. That's all it is, £10. Wear it in time for Easter. Easter will be gone by then. So wear it in time for like the summer. You know, it'll be nice. It's nice to support. As you know, it's not a money maker scheme. All the money gets invested in the club because Sports Association have now sponsored the extra seats in the stand.
The crush barriers.
Crush barriers that are in the shed end and along the terrace there. So the money does help go back into the club. So please, please, please do purchase if you see them. Spencer, we're getting to that business end of the season. We are so close to the playoffs, we can taste it. Should we put our necks on the line here? Are we going to make the playoffs or not? What do you think?
Yeah.
How far are we going to go in the playoffs? Eliminators, semis, or final, or winners?
Just, one step at a time.
Or do we do it one step at a time? Yeah, I think we'll make. I think we'll get in.
Want us to make the playoffs, obviously. I think we'll make the playoffs. It's all in our, you know. We'll discuss as we go on. Is it in our hands? Not in our hands. We've got, you know, some big games against teams that are around us. You know, they're gonna make the difference. As long as we do the job in the other games against your Concords, etc.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it's just, as we said, and we say it plenty, you'll hear us say it plenty of times in this podcast, we were taking this time last year when we were getting ready to lift the Isthmian League trophy. To think we were possibly around any form of promotion to the National League in a year's time, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. To be sitting here at the beginning of April, talking about playoffs, whether we'll be in the playoffs or won't we be in the playoffs, what a discussion to be having, eh?
Yeah, it's great. But also, another discussion we're having is how well the women's team are doing. Cup final on the 30th.
Just brilliant. And not only on the pitch, it's great to see the crowds are going up game by game as well. And I say it all the time, come along.
Yeah,
they're a really good team. It's a good atmosphere.
And we appreciate some people that come to the Saturday games can't always come to the Sunday games because of family commitments. But if you can commit yourself to one Sunday game this season, make it the 30th of April away at Sutton for the cup final.
12 o'clock
versus Dartford. It's at Sutton United. 12 o'clock. It's not far to go. Sutton versus Dartford. Really, really, really excited for that. And it's thanks to Bohus who are the women's sponsor for sponsoring the coach. But it's all sold out as far as we know at the moment. But I think they are doing a reserve list. But talking about the women's team, I think it's time we get our first guest on. John always supplies us with a good player. We've got a good chat. We've got Lauren Dolbear this month, the goalkeeper. And we joined her earlier on to discuss the season so far and the future for the women's team.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
We're joined by Lauren Dolbear. Welcome to the Rebel Yell Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Firstly, views on the season so far?
I think we've had quite a good season. Still got 8 games left, so still got quite a big push just to try and obviously keep winning and hopefully get promotion and cup final on the way as well.
Yeah, exciting for the cup final, 30th of April at Sutton United playing Dartford. What are your thoughts on it? Excited for it, all the girls looking forward to it?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, we've played Dartford twice already this year and come off with a 2-1 and a 2-0. So hopefully we can do the same again and come home with the cup.
Yeah. Ben?
Yeah, you know, it's been a really exciting season so far. Us in Ebbsfleet, it's getting a bit tight, you know. That bizarre 7-0 they had on Sunday. it almost seems like whoever has a slip up between there and the end of the season, that might make the difference.
Yeah, I think obviously we've had quite a tough run of games the last few weeks, which obviously we've shown that we can run with the top teams, and obviously unfortunately had our first defeat, but as a team we kind of picked ourselves back up and came out with a 2-0 win against Fulham, so that's always a plus.
Yeah, so looking at the rest of the season, it's obviously putting you under pressure here. Do you think the girls will do it? Do you think the title's yours, or is it one game at a time?
I think with the girls we've got in the camp, we can definitely do it. Like, from where we've come in the season, I think with a big push and a lot of hard work, we can win it. But I think, like you say, it only takes one team to take a slip, so hopefully we can just stay on the ball and get there.
Yeah, I think it must be hard at times to sort of distance yourself from that, because obviously the dream, you probably sit there dreaming and have your hands on a trophy, getting a promotion, is what obviously everyone wants for the club. How do you distance yourself from that? How do you get away from that? Because obviously you know it's so close and you can almost taste it, but it's not quite there yet.
I think for me personally, as I just want to take one step at a time and focus on that game, and for me, just hopefully save the goals and keep pushing forward with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of goals, so there's quite a bit of pressure on with the goal difference. Lauren's nodding at me.
not, was it 19? So, is it 19 at the moment?
Yeah, we've got a few goals to make up, you know.
Yeah, I think we've got the strikers that can do it,
and 100%.
We've got the players that can finish. I think for us, it's just staying solid at the back to not letting any more goals. So that's going to be the difference.
Yeah, 100%. So let's take it all back. So just tell us about your history of Worthing, why you came, when you came, just for the listeners out there.
I came back 21, I believe.
It's when John joined, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was signed when Michelle was here, but I had an injury, so I was waiting for an operation, and then obviously COVID hit, so then I kind of had like 18 months out, and then I've worked with John before at Lewis.
Yeah.
I've worked very closely with Rad as well, so. Yeah, so I think I've been here 2 years now.
So what was it that brought you back? Obviously you said you were here before, like, was it just the sort of goal that John had, the sort of overall, like, the sort of dream he had for the club and like, taking them forward?
I think obviously working with John, and like, I've played with Kelly and I've worked with Rad, and as a goalkeeper, for me it's so important to have a goalkeeper coach that I really trust, so working well with Rad, I think that was one of the main, and the dreams of getting promotion. And like, last year when we came up, everyone thought that we were just going to be like a bottom league team, and then all of a sudden we're finishing mid-table, so.
Yeah, no, it's been great, and you can see like just the building on last season, you know, to be around the top, and even if it doesn't happen, it's an achievement and I guess something to build on. Do you feel that the Women's European, England winning the European Championships past summer, have you felt the effect around the women's game? Like, we ask this to sort of all the girls we speak to on the podcast every month, and we think it's personally affected it. Have you seen it?
And yeah, like, you know, to add to that, we're speaking on Thursday evening. It's the finalissima tonight, England against Brazil, sold out at Wembley, and they could have probably sold it out twice.
Yeah, I think the Euros did help. Like, and we get a lot of the young girls here now with the mascots, and obviously showing that we can be a role model to them is quite important. I think, yeah, like you say, at Wembley, I did have tickets for that tonight, but I thought our season would be finished, and I was like,
no, you mean you had to come and speak to Rebel Yell, that's why you cancelled on the England tickets.
Right.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Get right along, come on. Just before we wrap this up, we always ask everyone on the podcast a little interesting fact about themselves. So what's your interesting fact?
I ran through Lewis with the Olympic torch.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I was sponsored by Coca-Cola.
So how did that all come about then?
So I did a lot of volunteering. I went up to Gambia twice, and then they just put me through as nomination. And then from there, I just got shortlisted, and that was it. That was my leg up the nice long hill of Lewis.
So you're training for it, yeah.
One experience.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the torch go through Crawley when I lived up in Crawley, and it was an amazing event and a massive buzz. I worked at the Olympic Games and the Paralympics. It was an amazing thing. So was it just... Have you still got the torch?
Yeah, I've got the torch.
Yeah,
because I was sponsored, normally you must pay for it, but because I was sponsored by Coca-Cola, I got it free, so...
Amazing. Have you framed it, or is it like just...
Oh, it just sits under my stairs at the minute.
There's always a thing like that, so you've got to get it framed. Well, if you talk to Stu, I know his dad owns a framing shop, so get it sorted with Stu. But Lauren, thank you very much for sitting down with us. Good luck for the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll speak to you next month as champion.
Fingers crossed.
Cheers, thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Thanks, Lauren, for joining us on the Rebel Yell Podcast. It's been good this season. Haven't let too many in, has she? We've been scoring loads.
No.
Scoring loads, conceding few.
You know, it's unfortunate for us. We've not been conceding, we've been scoring loads, but Ipswich so far somehow managed to score even more. So, what a season. Lauren and the women generally
I mean, it's just amazing to think we're going to cup final. I mean, if you are listening to this, and please just come along and support. Like, even when me, Spencer and Chris were at the FA Cup game earlier on the season against Sutton, funnily enough, wasn't it? But we were singing and chanting, even three of us make enough noise, and they kept saying, I'm going, what is that noise? But they all said to us, it's amazing. So if we can even get 10, down, 15, we'll 20 of us singing sense. Behind the goal, do come along. It'll be a good day. No matter, and just support another aspect of the club. We've done it for the Youth Cups before. It's time to do it for the women, so come along to Sutton, that'd be brilliant. Let's talk to John. He sat down with us and goes through the last 6 weeks to see how he's doing, and talks about the season and, you know, how close we are to gaining that promotion and sort of two-horse race, I think it is now, with Ebbsfleet, and it's basically who's going to slip up. And after the last weekend of Ebbsfleet's 7-7 draw, we counted that with a 2-0 win so against Fulham. So over to John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
John Donoghue, thank you for coming back. Again, we haven't scared you off, but welcome back to April's Rebel Yell podcast. So, don't like to start on a negative, but you lost the first match of the season against Ebbsfleet since we last spoken. How has that like changed anything in the team or affected the team as such? Because Ebbsfleet, you know, seems like the bogey team for the men and the women's team this year, doesn't it?
Well, we beat them once already this season. So, you know, I can't remember too many teams going through seasons not losing. Not losing a game. So, you know, looking back at the game, we had as many opportunities, they just stuck theirs away, which is obviously an important thing to do. So, it doesn't really affect it, especially when they go and draw 7-7 the next week.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer was at the game here on Sunday, I was at work, but, you know, I saw the, you know, crazy, and in the last minute, I mean, you must have been, that must have put a cherry on top of the icing, like, to this thing. But as we said to Lauren, it's the goal difference now that we need to start clawing back, don't we? Because I think it was 19, is it, Spencer?
18 or 19.
Yeah, and so, but you've got a game in hand over them.
And also, you know, certainly with our league, it's not even in terms of playing everyone once and then playing everyone again. So we've got, although we've had a real tough run of games, we have actually got what you would perceive as some of the teams that are bottom end of the season as well. You know, in terms of goal difference, in terms of losing against Ebbsfleet, everyone who watches football knows some crazy things happen.
100%.
Yeah, well, like I say, so we've got, on the same, we've got Acorns, we've got Elsford.
Yeah.
I can't remember how many scored against Acorns at home, but it was a few.
But, you know, you never know. So you look at it, and about after the game, all the players were probably going, oh, they're never going to lose. They're never going to lose. Or never going to draw. And all of a sudden, they go and do it the next week. So, as much as we obviously are conscious of the who they're playing, we've got to focus on trying to win as many games as we can.
Well, we know football's a crazy game, don't we? And we've seen crazy results throughout the season. Was it weird to have a loss again? Because obviously you've been so used to winning this season. Was it like, oh, I've got to get back into that mindset, how to remotivate the players, because they won't have been used to it either.
No, but you look at the games we've lost. So we've lost against two teams that are two divisions above us, and we've lost to the team who are top of the league. It's not a bad, if you're going to lose, I suppose it would be at least against the teams that you perceive as being good teams.
And cup final's a nice distraction.
Yeah, so that's really something we're looking forward to. Certainly there's hopefully going to be a bit of promotion about if people want to come and watch.
So to add a bit more context to that, for those that don't know, we're playing Dartford in the League Cup final at Sutton on the 30th.
That's it, 30th April, 12 o'clock kickoff.
A bit early for me, like I'll say. Could you not have made it a couple of hours later?
Well, I think there's two finals played on the same day. We got the early one.
No, so I mean, I think, you know, thanks to Bohouse, the women's team sponsor, have sponsored the coach to reduce it. Brilliant. I think currently as we speak, we've tried to get on and we can't even get on it. It's sold out. So, you know, we'll be there. We might have to drive up ourselves, but we'll be there. And I'm sure a few others, and, you know, we'll try and talk to some of the lads to get a bit of vocal support, because I know it will help the girls and, you know, move on and, you know, team. And I think we'd just be proud.
We'll have to get the drum out.
Yeah, it might even bring drum. But I think it's just, we're just proud as a club to see them get to a cup final and do so well. So, you know, we'll be there. Couple of new signings since we last started, and I apologise if I'm pronouncing this one, but Samantha Quayle?
Quayle.
There you go. Quayle. And Maddie Hodson.
Yes.
Background.
Both scored on debut.
Yeah.
Both scored,
You couldn't have asked for a better debut.
Yeah.
What's the background?
It's all down to you, John.
John's tactical genius. What's the background to those signings, John? Like, where would you, just a little bit more depth in the squad or just to get us over the line, sort of thing like
we
that?
We were conscious that we wanted to add to the squad because we knew there was going to be lots of games coming up and lots of tough games. And unfortunately, if you pick up injuries, you need a bit of a bigger squad. We've carried a squad of 16 all season, and there was just an opportunity in terms of Maddie, whose season finished at Lewis development squad. She'd played against us, so we'd seen her play, couple of people have mentioned what your thoughts there. So we were able to get her. So she's obviously a very young player, but looks quite exciting. And Sammy, I've known for a number of years, signed her when I was at Lewis. She's played in the Championship for a good two or three seasons. She's played at national level, sort of tier three. So she was a real good opportunity to obviously try to bring her in, and she scores on a debut.
You couldn't have asked for anything else, could you?
No.
No, it's great to see. But so far, so good. I mean, rest of the season, you've got some good games come up, but those are the games that are winnable.
Yeah, so we've still got Fulham again.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks. And we've got, obviously, on Sunday, the team that scored seven but let seven in.
Yeah, yeah.
Against Ebbsfleet. So, yeah, we've got... I think the teams always step up against us because we're one of the top teams in the league. But what's quite encouraging is a lot of them say, well, if obviously we want to beat you, but we'd like you to win the league. hopefully them
get
positive
them out
vibes
of their
leg.
Yeah,
come
no,
through.
Exactly. I mean, what's the mindset going into this final end of the season? I mean, hopefully we speak to you at the end of the season special as a champion, or at least a cup champion or something like that. What's the mindset for you now? What do you just focus game by game? Or
that's all you can do, because you know you don't know what's around the corner. Who'd have thought that we had to change our system when we've been playing the same system all season, and all of a sudden four of the players that play in the sort of the wing back position, all of them were injured. So we had to change the shape a little bit, and sometimes that takes a little bit of an adjustment when you've been playing one sort of shape most of the season. But you know, we've had the tough games, and we've come through them. Yeah. So we look forward to keep having more tough ones, because they're much more exciting than the easy ones.
Yeah,
much more.
Yeah, 100%. Well, John, the whole club's behind you, obviously.
Thank you.
Cup final, we're really looking forward to it. So we probably won't speak to you before then. So good luck for that, and we'll see you there.
Hopefully.
Maybe we can do a live interview if we got John with the cup. How's that sound?
It'd be wonderful. I think finals are more about the players and the supporters. Obviously, from a management perspective, my main focus wants to be the league. But we're going to put our strongest team out and try to win the final as well.
It's a nice bonus.
Yes.
Well, 100%, I think you'll see quite a few Rebels down there, so we look forward to it. But John, good luck for the rest of the month, for the rest of the season. Hopefully we speak to you next month with a bit of glory in our hands. That sounds a bit wrong, doesn't it? I don't know. Is that a bit weird? Sorry. There we go.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to talk to John, isn't it?
Yeah, John's always just so honest and good with us and up front. And we always appreciate John's time.
So yeah, John's... It's interesting to get those questions in when we say, like, you know, how do you prepare? But it's like we were saying to Hinch last season, you know, they're so close to the Championship, you've just got to take a game at a time. And that's what it is. And, you know, as we said, he's not used to losing. You have to sort of remotivate the girls to sort of just, look, it's a one-off glitch. Let's concentrate on the rest of the season, because it is within, the ball's in their court.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the goal difference is huge of 19. So that's going to be a task in itself. But if, you know, Ebbsfleet are there to slip up, you know, that 7-7 would have probably shook them, you know, last week.
Yeah, just carnage. Two goals in injury time as well, both sides. But, you know, it is concentrating on one game at a time, and it's also concentrating on what we're doing and not what on others are doing. And at the end of the day, we can only do the best we can and take it from there.
Yeah, 100%. I just think before we move on, we've got Ollie and Hinch come out. We just got to speak about the tragic loss of Morty of the club. We got a statement from Gary, from the Supporters Association chairman. Morty, he ran the club for many years, maintained the pitch, had a good knowledge of all the teams in the era, a nice guy, will be sadly missed by everyone that knew him. I thought he'd gone forever. R.I.P. Morty. Another club legend lost.
And somebody, you know, who did so much for the club. Good times out there.
Yeah, and as you'll hear Hinch says later on, it's like it was a pleasure to give him the Isthmian League trophy last season over the fence, and he loved it. And you know, good to see he got his hands on that. But you know, it's the last sort of 18 months has been cruel for us Worthing fans. We lost many people that loved around the club, and some were too young to be gone. But you know, Morty joining those Rebels up there, cheering on them from the sky. So rest in peace, mate. Well, I think it's time to go and talk about the Mr. 100 Century Club. Mr. Ollie Pearce. Dulwich Hamlet, stored with an absolute whopper, a little dink, and he knew it was going in. Are we going to be seeing more than 100 goals, Ollie Pearce? Is it going to be 200 goals?
Well, let's see. Obviously, the better Ollie does it, the more Gora keeps scoring, the chances are of somebody else coming along. But
knowing Ollie, I think he'll say 500 goals by the time he retires. But we will do less speculating and we'll go and talk to Ollie now. But Ollie sat down with us and talked about joining the 100 club.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Mr. 100, Mr. Century, Ollie Pearce is in the room again on the Rebel Yell podcast. 100 goals, mate. Like, when you joined us in 2018, was it?
Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, and bearing in mind, COVID. You've not had, it's 5 seasons, I think, was it 6? But you haven't had 5 full seasons, have you? You've had, like, no. 2 or 3, really.
What was the first one, 34? Did you make the 34 games?
Yeah, something like that. And then, you know, and then it was like, obviously, second was, like, something stupid. And then that, so you basically lost 2 years, really, or a year and a half.
The first season.
Yeah, and it's like, what did you ever think when you joined Worthing that you'd be getting to 100 goals within that time frame? No. That's an achievement and a half.
I know. Obviously, I think Bognor, I've played near 300 games. I don't think I've got to 100 there.
Do you remember what you got at Bognor when you were there?
I think I've just about made it to 90.
Yeah.
Just about. Yeah. But I did play wide a lot for Bognor.
I guess you had to get a quality club and a quality manager and stuff like that.
Yeah, better
support. So when you got that 100 goals, what was the feeling? Because, I mean, there was a couple of ums and ahs, weren't there, Spencer? We weren't 100% sure when it actually was, and I think you worked out it was against Dulwich Hamlet, and you got the hat trick as well. Was it a hat trick? No, second, two goals.
Right at the last minute.
Yeah, right at the last minute. I mean, what was the feeling when you did that? I mean, does it feel different, or were you just like, oh, it's another goal?
I think because I knew about it as well, because I saw, were we at home on the Saturday, or I saw the programme on the Saturday, and I saw 98, and I don't think I scored at the weekend.
Yeah.
And then obviously, the penalty in the first half, I got one more, and then, like I said to Hayden in his interview, I think I was searching for it a little bit in the second half. But then as soon as I went for on goal, I just knew I was going to dink it over him. Yeah. And then,
I mean, what goal to do it on?
I felt like the crowd sort of knew it as well a little bit.
Yeah.
We were all waiting.
Yeah. So that sort of picked me up a little bit. I was just really proud achievement, to be honest.
But it's like, there's a sort of fashion at Worthing to sort of important goals and sort of showboating a little bit, isn't there? Like, you see Jasper winning the league with the goal last season. You getting your 100 with that little ding. Like, I mean, you can't get a better way to do it, can you, Spence?
Dad don't start when you're going to do it. It's better than just knocking in a penalty, isn't it?
That's quite a lot of them as well.
Did you know it was going in, though? Did you know it was going in, that ding?
Yeah.
Straight away, as soon as it left your foot. Yeah. I loved it. No, it was just such an amazing way to do it. But so far, so good. This season, we're doing pretty well. We're coming to the business end.
Yeah.
Without trying to slate them too much, but how's it in comparison to your season with Bognor and National South?
Getting nonsense. Can't say any football.
They don't listen to this.
It was a difficult time, Bognor, obviously. The manager left, didn't he? And then sort of two of the boys took over, and then that didn't go to plan, and then Jack ended up taking over. And I think it was just a bit of a mess. Might have been wrong time, maybe. So obviously, everything's a bit more set in stone here.
Yeah.
A bit more prepared for it, maybe.
So how will you prepare for it this season? Because obviously, you got off to a slow start. I know you admitted that yourself. Like, did you feel a point in the season where you sort of turned it on almost? You felt like you were doing something different to your game, that you was getting those goals? I think we all saw the frustation in yourself.
There's been changes to the team as well.
Yeah.
Have they benefited you?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. I just think scoring goals gets your confidence.
We know you like that, don't you? Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm pissed off even if we win, I don't score.
We get that.
The amount of times we've seen you leave the ground,
Be careful what I say now.
Yeah, Gaffer's in the corner over there, yeah, we've got to say that. But the amount of times we've walked past and like you've seen you, and you know how we love seeing it because it tells you care.
Yeah.
But like, we've seen it so many times where you've gone up a game and you're like, you're an answer, and then just, you know when not to talk to Ollie. That's, I guess, the footballer that cares, because you could be just someone, oh, we lost again, don't care, there we go. But it really affects you, doesn't it?
What, not scoring or losing?
Well, both, yeah.
I know, even if we win, I don't score, I'm still a little
You just go home and you're like, how'd you get over it, though? Like, what did you do? Like, just literally go home, just chill on a Saturday. I don't want to know. I think it's a clean podcast, don't say anything else, Ollie. I don't want to be putting stories out there.
Yeah, well, if you miss a couple of chances, it always grates on your mind.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
Tuesday games are always good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially getting scored at the weekend. Or yeah,
because you can forget about it the next day. Just it's good. So we've seen that it's a little different story, but have you found the team's different this season compared to like when the intensity of it? Because we've seen it as fans, haven't we, Spence? Like the intensity compared.
It seems a lot more sort of physical. It's a stronger game.
Yeah, I think teams are a little bit more clued on, aren't they? I think, you know, last year, I'm not saying it was easy. It was easier. I think teams weren't as good without the ball.
Yeah.
I think this year, as you can see, some teams have stopped us playing, different sort of tactics to play against us rather than worrying about themselves. I think that's been the main change. Better players as well, I think, going to the league.
Yeah. I mean, would you say you're surprised to see where we are? Because we're not surprised, because we knew we had the talent. But did you think it would be so good so soon, like, to be in and around the playoffs at this time last year? Because we said this time last year, when we knew we were lifting that trophy, if we were, like, in anywhere near the top half of the table, we were, like, mid-table, would be happy, even staying up. But, like, to be...
I don't think so.
No.
But winning mentality, sort of, in and around the group. We've been together, you know, for 3 or 4 years. That's Darren Budd and Alex Parsons trying to show off and be funny.
He's just jealous he's not on the podcast.
Maybe
one day. When
I think the winning mentality, you know, like I said, the boys have been around each other for.
Oh, here he
comes. You'll be on it one day. You'll be on it one day.
And this is what we're talking about, their mentality, the team spirit. Like, you can't, them just taking the mick out of you, it's just brilliant to see.
It's jealousy, though.
I mean, Buddy would be like dreaming of 100 goals, wouldn't he?
I know.
100 red cards, more like, for Buddy. He's never going to talk to me again after that, is he? Like, so this season, have you had a favourite moment or favourite ground or day that, I mean, obviously to get the 100 goals is amazing, but has there been anything that sticks out for you so far that's amazing? Or is it all still to come?
It's exciting bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, the most exciting bit is the last 6 games. Need to get in those playoff places, and I think then we can start thinking about more memorable moments, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to reenact that moment in the bar last season, wouldn't you? I mean, we'd love to do that again, wouldn't you?
I can't remember.
To be honest, that's most of us, to be fair. Yeah. You have to go through the phone to see the photos. I said, oh, yeah, that's what I did. Oh, that was that where that trophy was. What was that trophy doing that day? Obviously, we've got some really important games coming up. Obviously, must win. I know you'd like to say, you think we're going to do it? You think we'll edge in at the last minute?
Yeah, I think we'll.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Ollie Pearce on BT Sport. That'll be a good one, won't it?
Are the finals on BT Sport?
Yeah, the Eliminators and the semis.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. Team more.
So can you do, we were saying off air.
Ollie, here we go.
We're
going to be on telly. Right. We need a special Rebel Yell celebration.
So, I said to you, you started doing this glasses celebration, and I genuinely didn't know what was it behind. What started it off?
It was Slough, and then I scored. Was it the last minute?
You literally won the game.
Yeah, won the game.
So we were 2-1 down, weren't we, or something?
And then I think you were resting your glasses on the side.
Yeah,
I think I just picked them up and put them on.
Yeah, just put them on, and it was like,
I don't know why.
You got another friend out there.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Radari's now giving him abuse as well.
You'll never be on it.
He was on last month, to be fair.
Oh, was
he? He wants to co-present next month.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know why it was so popular.
So you had the glasses, and it's stuck ever since.
I think we need to say now.
Okay, I'm not always behind the goal. I'm not always here. I think anyone that's got glasses now, you need to pass them to Ollie, don't you, Spencer?
I just try and find some.
Yeah, I'm not usually.
You don't always stand behind the goal here, though, do you?
No, sometimes you're there. Pete, yeah, exactly. I mean, some of us show up on like Pete tonight. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Some of us sometimes. Bank holiday Thursday, which is probably where you want to be. No, you can't because Gaff is there. No, going home, resting. No,
game Monday.
Ollie, it's just been amazing to watch your season. Congratulations for your 100 goals. When's the 200 coming? League One? Yeah. Hinch keeping, please. Right, Ollie, thanks very much.
Thanks, lads.
Good luck for the weekend and rest of the season.
Thank you. Cheers, nice
mate.
Guys,
this is the Rebel Yell podcast.
I think it's only fair that Ollie gets a plaque or a statue outside the ground, no? Stu's laughing.
I would want to see a statue, but as long as the same person that did the Cristiano Ronaldo statue.
Yeah, can you imagine an Ollie Pearce statue?
Ollie gets a statue.
Well, he's got 100 goals, mate. You know, I think I'd look. Can you imagine him shining at you coming into the ground?
You need to get these boys on there.
What? Well, Ollie Pearce statue. Can you imagine? No, we'll go to. What do Hinge think about it? Would you think Hinge would like to see that? I can't see that. Yeah, I can't see that happening, but I can't see that happening.
I think it'd be a long day. I think
hell freeze over for if you're not pissed actually here. But anyway, Ollie, thanks for talking to us. It really is what they call the business end of the season now, isn't it? And you know, we dare to dream. I think we do. I think it'd be amazing seeing, you know, us in the playoffs. I think we'll get to the eliminators, and I think we're doing better than the eliminators. But you know, this momentum, you've got to have the momentum going in the next few weeks, and I can see us going on a run at the moment. I've just got the real positive vibes around the place that starting tomorrow, or when you hear this, it might not be tomorrow, but starting with Concord, with a game we need to win and sort of get that rolling again.
Yeah, it's been such an up and down season. It's just, keeping that momentum going, and obviously missing a game with Farnborough called off. You sort of maybe lose that a little bit. But
it was a big game to pull off. It was like right in the momentum, and from what I read on the internet, Farnborough maybe not in the best place as a squad at the moment, you know, with injuries and stuff. So, yeah. But you know, it's going to be a Saturday, Tuesday.
But yeah, a lot of games, but not as bad as Concord. If you've seen Concord's fixtures to the end of the season,
very, very tough. And
yeah, every 2.4
days. But let's sit down with Hinch. We talk to Hinch, usual good old chat with Hinch about, you know, what's going on around the club, some new signings and everything, and what the expectations are for the rest of the season.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
We're joined by the gaffer, Adam Hinchelwood. Welcome back to the latest episode of Rebel Yell Podcast, I think episode 6. Bit up and down since we last spoke, hasn't it? It's been a bit of a roller coaster again, hasn't it? What are your thoughts the last 6 weeks?
Oh yeah, it's been quite a tough watch. I think seeing the boys a bit low on confidence for whatever reason, and you know, I can see now why I thought that bit of experience at this level would be so important. It's for like moments like we've just come through, really. That bit of nous, bit of know-how, is vital at this level. And see some of the young lads sort of struggling with their confidence has been a tough watch. But yeah, hoping you know, one or two additions and getting a bit more experience back in the spine of the team will just help the younger players sort of flourish a little bit. We've seen some good performances from a couple of the younger lads since then. So yeah, we're hoping to build on definitely the second half performance I haven't.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned sort of, you know, the season. It's been a long season, as in the number of games, the intensity of games, you know, the Saturday, Tuesday, just seems constant all season. And yeah, you know, now we're at that sort of business end, as everyone calls it, you know, getting that experience in, and it's just pushing, isn't it, for those final few games.
Definitely. I think, you know, that's at the start of the season, you know, we signed Adam Alab, we signed Jake Robinson, and I thought that bit of experience at this sort of level would be really important to us, and I think it's shown in the last few games. You know, there's going to be times in the season where it does come thick and fast, and having a young side that's not that experienced at this level can really show. I think you play against a lot of lads that have had league experience that are probably on their way down, dropping down, and you know, want to maybe play part time but pick up nice bit of money still, and you get good loan players at this level, like from League One and League Two. There's a lot of loans that come out to this level, so I think the standard of player is of a much higher quality. And when you've got players that are not quite used to dealing with that week in, week out, sometimes it can affect their confidence. And I think we've just seen a bit of that, but I'm hoping they'll all grow from it and become better. You know, we've not had too many hide-ins. We've had a couple of big hide-ins from Everfleet, but other than that,
everybody has.
It'd been very easy to go there and shut up shop and go against everything we do, and you know, maybe make more of a game of it. But you know, we've got full faith in the squad of players that we've got, that we can still go and play our way and hurt teams like that.
I mean, we know the home game. Obviously, we beat Haven. A really big result on the Saturday, and then was it the Monday or the Tuesday? It was a Tuesday. We lost convincingly to Ebbsfleet, and the same happened again for the away fixture. I mean, we know how frustrated you are after that first one. I mean, what was your feelings after that? Because, you know, it must have been so demoralising, because you're like, especially after going one up as well, like, how do you pick yourself up from that?
Yeah, no, it's tough. And like I said on the recent podcast we did, like, after every defeat, I think, you know, I'm the first one that will take the full brunt and the blame. I look at myself first, you know, after the heat of the moment and letting the boys know what I think of them. I then go and have a reflection and see what I could do better and how I can improve. And I think in those games, we made mistakes in both games that we just don't make throughout the course of the season. And it's a hard one to sort of analyse and put your finger on, that Joe Rice taking throw-ins and throwing it to their striker. We're letting long balls go over the top of our head. I know you're playing against real good players, but the mistakes that you're making, you know, Harrison made a mistake, and yes, he's been one of the most consistent players all season.
Harrison's been brilliant.
I mean, even the one that went in the near post, I think on another day he saves it and he'll be disappointed with it. And it was just a case of, how comes when we're playing against these top teams, are we making them kind of mistakes? Is it, a mindset that we need to get into? That do we get into a state where we're concentrating too hard and make, you know, fundamental mistakes that we don't make week in, week out? And that's one of the things I thought from the two games. Obviously, 13 goals that we conceded, and they haven't really had to work too hard to score more than half of them. It's probably 10 of them they've been gifted by us, by our mistakes. So, I look at myself and see, you know, what am I saying and how can I motivate the team and stuff like that. But, it was a tough watch. It was tough to sit there and, you know, I thought for the first 20 minutes we were 1-0 up and we was out singing the away,
the
home fans on the day, and it was, everything was going really well. And then to have those highs and lows that you have, I think we had a lot of them this season.
But, yeah, from a fan perspective, you know, we do appreciate, on your sort of part, it's brave management, because you're never happy to sit back and take what we've got and defend. You know, could have tried to shut up shop.
No, I think there's something's come out on Twitter, hasn't it, with that expected goals. I think we're second for the attacking ones, is it?
Really, yeah.
And then we're third bottom for the defending ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good. Half of our game's obviously good. We're second to Ebbsfleet in terms of expected goals we should score. So that means we're getting the ball into the right area a lot of times. But also on the flip of that, we're also letting the opposition get into that area quite a few times as well. So it's definitely, you know, don't hold all the answers. I try to play a certain way, and it's a certain way that I enjoy watching as well. You know, I like us being expansive and playing a certain way and passing and moving and getting numbers into the box. You know, when it doesn't go right and you do make mistakes, you do leave yourself a little bit open. But I think to go away from that just for the opposition is not something that is in me to do, really. No. Rightly or wrongly, obviously wrongly, because we've lost heavily twice, but you know, we've got full faith in what we do and what we do as well.
But then we had that amazing result against Dulwich. What a great result that was. And like, completely, like, I mean, we know we're a good team, but I didn't expect a 6-0 thrashing of Dulwich. I mean, I know they're maybe not as good as they have been, and they've had a few managerial up and downs this season, but to beat sort of a stable National League team by that on our home turf would have been a massive morale boost for the lads.
No, it would have been, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we just got to keep reminding them that there's that in them as well as players. And I think where, like I say, that lack of experience at this level, the know-how and stuff, like, I think one or two can doubt themselves. And like, similar to myself, you doubt yourself, you get imposter syndrome when you lose a game and you think you're not good enough to be managing at this level. And then you sleep on it and you go about working a way of becoming better and trying to get better at your players as well. And I'm sure, you know, there's been a bit of that from the whole of the team. But yeah, like the last game, we had Aaron Racine, we had Kane, we had Jack Paxman, we had Ollie Pearce, we had Ibi Ekambi. all with a bit of know-how at this level and above. And I think that sort of really did help us settle like some younger players in and around that sort of nucleus.
Oh, you talk about Ollie Pearce on that Dulwich win, scoring his 100th goal for the club. I mean, since you brought him into the club, I mean, what an impact he's had. And as we said to him, he's only really had like three and a half seasons, really, forgetting COVID. I mean, to get to 100 goals, what an important part of the squad he is. And, like, you know, he's really finding his feet now, we're finding. It must be such a relief to see.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant to see. I think we've seen Ollie grow with us in this
more
time.
More mature, he's mature as well, yeah.
I'll never forget a game, was it? I forget where we played. I want to say Chertsey away or something in the cup last year.
Oh yeah, we went down. Is that when we went had the when Tyrese got sent off. Stupid red card.
And Ollie really took ownership of the game and led from by example. Led from the front, was a real leader. Was talking, was showing effort in his work rate and stuff. And you know, I really saw a leader in him then. And just how far he's come. I think he turned up. He was probably not as fit as he could be when he first come to the club, but you know, you've got to say full credit to the lad. He's knuckled down. He's worked hard at his game. He's worked hard at his physique, and he's become a real top player for us.
And you've given him the captain's armband at least once this season, haven't you? So you're showing that faith and the maturity of him to lead that squad.
No, that's it. Yeah, I think at the start of this season he had a bit of a point to prove. Obviously had a bad time last time he was at this level, and you know, probably had some doubters whether he could do it at this level or score goals at this level. And I think he was putting too much pressure on himself, like he was missing chances and could see it affecting him, and he was getting annoyed with everything that he couldn't control. And then again, I think he showed a bit of maturity, that obviously the goals have helped him settle down and into this level as well. But you know, a thing I like about Ollie, although he's not been a pro, he's got real sort of a professional sort of mindset. He's a real intelligent player. Same with Miki, another intelligent player, and you know, I really like that in players.
Yeah. Added to the squad since we last spoke with Suk J. Lee from Havant, Jack Paxman from Ebbsfleet. So what was the thoughts behind this move? Is it just to sort of, I guess the same question I said to John, was it? Just get us over the line, sort of get to the end of the season, just add a little bit more experience, as you say, or what were the background to the signings? So good players.
No, yeah, obviously Suk J was through Kilo, had known of Suk J from Havant and knew that he wasn't really playing, knew that he was our type of player. Young lad with real potential that had a great mindset and wanted to, you know, still had aspirations to kick on in the game. And you know, we like to work with them kind of players, so you know, that was Kilo's work really there. And then with Paxman, obviously we played against Dover, and I thought he was excellent against us. Although he's on the wrong side of bit of a hide in that day, but I thought he showed some excellent qualities, and he wanted to take the ball in tight areas and with players in and around him. And I just felt we needed that bit of, like I say, a bit of know-how for this level. And at this stage of the season, he's got into a playoff final at this level last year. You know, arguably was the best player in the playoff final against Dorking last season. And to have that bit of experience at this stage, I thought was crucial for us. And I think when he's out there training, he just sort of seems to settle everybody down, because they know they can trust him on the ball. And another great addition to add.
And they've settled straight in, as so many of your signings do.
No, I still think there's more to come from Suk J. He's still learning, you know, what we want from him and stuff like that. But, you know, one thing, you know, Suk J, he's going to leave everything out there on the pitch. He's going to work tirelessly for you. And, you know, he has got some quality. I thought he played on the left-hand side, put a couple of great balls in with his left foot. I think David should have scored from one of them. It was on his debut, it wasn't in having game before, so he's shown signs of his quality. There's even more to come from him as well, but you know, I can't speak highly enough of, you know, we do analysis, and I look around and there's 21 players staring back at you, and what I will say about them, every single one of them is of the right ilk and the right make, and they're great lads.
You finally got the squad you want here.
Obviously, at times we lack a little bit of quality, you know, with how we want to play, and that shows in our confidence at times, and they get a bit down on their confidence because they're not used to and haven't quite got the experience in that. But they honestly, you know, the role that Buddy does, although you don't see him out there on the pitch, but he absolutely, him and when Paso, when they're here, they just run the dressing room for me, and they really demand the standards of the young players, and it's so great to have that, and to have, like I say, 21 people, and you know, good people staring back at you, you know you're onto something good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Tough games coming up, but one to look out for, we're looking forward to, is Hastings and the Sussex. Senior Cup semi-final at Lancing, was it 25th, I think it is, of April? Must be looking forward to that. It's going to be interesting to see how they are, because they've obviously moved up a level since we last played them in the FA Cup, and that was a tough game then.
No, it was, yeah. That would be arguably one of the toughest games of the season we'll have there against them. One, they will be so keen to beat Worthing. Worthing, like it or not, we're a big scalp now in Sussex football.
We've got a target on our back.
Yeah, we have. We're, you know, a big team, so everyone's going to raise their game, and even more so these Sussex games. You see when Crowborough come and played here, like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to beat Worthing, so it's going to be a real tough game. And with that, they're obviously going to be fired up for it. Two ex-Worthing coaches in their ranks, and they're going to be fired up for it, but also they've got some real quality. You know, half the players that I signed there, so you know this. They're going to be...
Yeah, obviously.
No, but they've got some real quality in their sides. You know, the lad they signed from Gillingham up front.
It must be weird there for you, like, obviously playing again, after having the, like, history of them and stuff, as you say, some of the players you signed. So it's going to be an interesting game. Thing is are we a Bognor fan for the night, or do you want to see your son versus us in the final? Because there's a good chance Jack would play, wouldn't he, in that game?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't want to play Brighton again. I want to play, I mean, no, Bognor-Worthing final.
Bognor-Worthing final would be amazing, like, yeah, game to be a part of. At the Amex,
I think that the atmosphere would be banging.
Would be brilliant, but yeah, I mean...
You just want to get a final first.
Yeah, exactly. Concentrate on us, don't really care who we've got there. Yeah, obviously it'd be nice if play against Jack. And,
yeah.
Would it? It'd be nice to,
would it really, like,
nice to get one over from him. Couldn't wait to come up, and after that game he was, like, quite proud he got on and won and stuff, come and sat on the end of our bed, and I was just
go away.
I just lost the game.
His medal around his neck.
I weren't happy to talk to him, so I left that to my missus, but it'd be nice to go sit on the end of his bed after
read him a bedtime story. There you go, the medal around your neck. Yeah, don't blame you.
I'll be 10 times worse.
Yeah, I can imagine. We've got, obviously, in the league, you know, hopefully, I think Spencer said, hopefully we'll be doing a playoff special next month, but we've got to get there first. There's some very important games. How do you go into, like, these games? Is it a different mindset or just the same winning mentality you always got?
No, yeah, definitely. We're not going to change what we do. You know, it would be an unbelievable achievement in our first ever season at this level to even contemplate getting into a playoff position.
The possibility of National League football at Worthing Football Club.
Yeah.
Possibility. Do you get in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You've seen it. We see it last season. I mean, did I think Dorking would go for him in the way they won that playoff final? Amazing. No, it's fairy tale. Like, probably even them, they didn't think,
no,
you know.
That's right.
And could we see that here?
Definitely, but you
know, give Barry a heart attack,
long,
I think.
Yeah, we would, There's a long
road ahead,
exactly, to go, We've got some big games ahead
Six
of us.
Six games, is it, as you speak?
Six games, and a semi final. So there's a massive part of the season to go. And all we want to do, I think, is got a bit of a free run, really. No one expected us to. We just wanted to finish above the dotted line and stay in this division after all our hard work. Yeah. But having been there so long, we obviously want to finish in there and have a little go at becoming a National League club. So we're going to do all we can, but I just want our performances and to see the boys play in this last month of the season with the confidence and the belief that I feel they should play would be a real positive, because if they do that, I feel, and we've proved this season, that we can be a real test for any team. So, yeah, it's down to us all as a group to just try and find that belief and that confidence in the remaining games.
Yeah, go out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, like, no pressure, it is a bit of a free run. Like, if we finish with 63 points this year, it's the highest points total we've ever got at this level, and it's something to build on for next season. But you know, my mindset and the players' mindset is definitely not to finish on 63 points. But yeah, we want to keep on building, keep on improving. That's all I've ever wanted to do since I've been here, each season get better and improve, and that's what we want to do in the remaining six games as well, and the semi-final. We want to be better than we was against Havant and just keep on building and be improving on our performance.
Well, Hinch, it's been a wicked rollercoaster of the season. I think, as we said to Ollie, like, we were getting ready to lift that trophy this time last year. I don't think it was in anyone's wild dreams that we'd be literally possibly contemplating actually being in the playoffs. So it's been an achievement, whatever. We hope we'll come back to you next month with a playoff special. But if it's the end of season special, we really hope so. But if it's an end of season finale podcast, I think whatever's happened, it's been an amazing season. But it's going to be positive. We can look back on a season fun to remember. But
definitely. I think myself and the players, you know, just thank the supporters. They've been tremendous supporting us home and away. And obviously, we lost just recently one of our valued supporters in Morty, so it'd be good. It was, you know, I said to Hayden, passing him over the trophy last year was a real nice
good moment.
He's worked so hard to try and get this club to that level, so for him to be there to witness it was nice, and to go one step better and get those kind of games and those sort of feelings back again would be amazing.
Well, I think we did it for Kev last season, didn't we? And Roger and Lars and Steve. Yeah. Can we do it for Morty this season? There we go. But Hinch, thanks again. No. We look forward to speaking to you next month. Good luck for the rest of the few games we've got coming up.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Always good to talk to Adam Hinchelwood there, the gaffer of the men's team. It's hard to ask the questions. As a fan, you've got to like try and compose yourself. So, you know, you're excited. You know me, I get too excited way too often. But, never, ever. But, you know, you've got to... it's interesting hearing the manager's view because, you know, it's one game at a time. You know, they've got to keep going. They know they've got some important fixtures. And, you know, it's nice to hear, you know, you can see someone that cares where he doubts himself, where he says he doubts himself at his level. Or, like, is he good enough to manage at this level? And we all know he is, but, you know, that's a manager that cares.
Yeah, again, like John, he's always honest, and you know, Hinch is always happy to say when he thinks he's made a mistake or he's done something incorrect, and you know, takes it personally. He doesn't have to, he does, but learns from it, takes it on, and we bounce back. You know, it's been quite up and down since the last the last podcast.
But I mean, I think
when we've had downs, we've bounced back and come back.
I think with Hinch at the helm, you know, we've got a really good chance in those playoffs. You know, he knows the tactics, he'll be so up for it. And, you know, he says, just play without pressure. You know, we've got no pressure to play for. You know, just we wouldn't even expect it to be that. So if you can get that mentality behind him. You know, we saw that amazing crowd, 3,000 odd at the Man United game, 2,500, 3,000. It'd be so good to see that again at Woodside for a playoff run, which I can see happening.
Yeah, but, you know, there's so much to learn from this season, no matter what happens. And wherever we do end up, it's going to be the highest we've ever finished in our history.
Which is amazing. Which is absolutely amazing. Talking about the Man United game, should we talk to Mr. Man United himself?
The legend.
The legend that is Stu.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Right, we're joined by Stu as usual. Right, do you want to talk about your goal, mate, against Man United? Legends. Because
really.
You haven't really spoken about it ever, have you?
I haven't, to be fair. People mentioned it to me.
Didn't you hear that he was signing some pre-signed photos to give out in the next game? I scored against Man United. Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like, though? What was that like? I mean, I know it's random. I know it's against Man United legends, but like the score, Woodside Road, your name being chanted.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good. Yeah. Good
what was it like to play in that game? So people like you probably watched on TV or something, or probably only one or two of them are actually Man United first team players. I thought it was like David Mayer said, like he looks a little bit different now, but he was one of the ones front and centre in the Champions League trophy in 99 and everything. Good day here at Woodside.
Yeah, it's an amazing day, mate, to be fair. They were really well organised in terms of the setup and using with the bowls club. Yeah, it's a surreal day. Like as you said, I've watched some of those boys play football for Man United over the years, and yeah, to play up against them, and even though they weren't the greatest names for Man United players, not Cantona or Beckham, but that was it. But yeah, either which way, but yeah, no, I just just loved it, mate. To be quite honest with you. Yeah.
So how did the penalty come about? So were you down as penalty taker, or
no, I
did you put
it.
Yourself forward?
No, I demanded it.
Yeah,
there's
no,
a prima donna
coming
out.
Yeah. Boys, I'm taking it. I didn't really get much of a choice, but to be honest with you, there wasn't a chance in hell that I wasn't going to take that penalty. I would have argued, cried. I'd have had to score against against Man United, randomly a Man United fan, so it's a bit weird scoring against them, but yeah, I had to take it.
And there weren't no celebration though.
It was a 5-1 down.
Yeah, but come on. You just scored at Woodside.
It should have got knee burned, shouldn't it? By sliding across the pitch. Yeah.
The first team messaged me in the afternoon saying, why didn't you celebrate more? I was like, nah, I can't do that. You're 5-1 down, embarrassing. Maybe I've scored the winner, but that was never going to be the winning goal.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of difference in even quality at that age, wasn't there?
And
that, yeah, it's a little bit different. But
some of those boys could still play, you know. Danny Webber up top was still
quality,
pace and fitness of him. And
Chris Eagles,
Danny Simpson at full-back. I was disappointed I didn't manage to go through one of them. I said to Wes, we were out for dinner with him Saturday night. I sat next to Wes Brown, Wes Morgan, and I said to him, I think I'm playing up top tomorrow in your centre half. I'm going to put one through you. I'm going to go through you. And he goes, you won't get near me, mate. And there's a couple of times that the ball got switched out to Danny Simpson to fullback. I was up top. I was racing over there. I was just racing. It's probably it's really slow. It's my hobby racing. I'm going to go through him. I just want to smash him to say that I smashed him. And I got over there. And just as I got over there, he played the ball around me. I was like,
But even if he did smash him, the size of it.
Yeah.
He's not a small bloke, is it?
You would have been worse off, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Just take him out.
So going back to Worthing and stuff, how's the latest of the youth setup? What's any news, any big results, or how's the season going? Come starting to wrap up the season now.
Yeah.
I see you're advertising for trial dates coming up in the summer now.
The trials early May. We've got invite after that, so we've got open and invite trials.
What's the difference between them?
Open invite is for just when you register your interest, come down, and then we then whittle all that down to how many we want, and then get them in for an invite only, which is usually like a game, 11-a-side game.
Okay, it's all open, and then you sort of almost like X Factor style, get them
much.
Down to like,
yeah,
send,
not far
and then
that,
say
really.
Like, literally, I would like to have you back for a game.
Yeah,
stuff like
that. Exactly that.
And what age does those start at? Is it like literally the youngest age group you
under
do?
Under 14s, 15s, 16s, and then 18s, and I think we're doing academy trials as well. All the way through, so May's going to be pretty full on.
Yeah.
Finish this season and go straight back into it again.
Yeah.
So.
And how about like with the team? Is there any sort of news, any sort of in the leagues? And it's not as been as much of a sort of gloryful season as it was last year this year, has it?
No, I don't really know where any of the teams are in the leagues. We don't really pay much attention to that, to be quite honest with you. The 14s were in a cup final week Friday over at Charlwood, I think, or Oakwood.
Okay.
Crawley. So they've got the final over there, which is great. 15s are close to the top of the league, in and around it, doing really well. And 16s have always been in the top three or four most seasons, and that's where they'll continue being. I mean, they play up to 15 and 16-year-olds up against 18-year-olds. So it's not really a positional thing that we look at in that table, to be honest with you. So yeah, they're all doing really well. 18s lost Monday night against Horsham YMCA. Still in with a shout of the league, but whilst it was in their hands, it's now out of their hands.
Okay.
So, which is a shame. Kind of had that last few months, it's been a bit like that, but then really pick up a couple of really good results, beating top of the league 7-0, whatever it was, 8-0, and then go and lose the following week.
Yeah.
But I think that's youth football in general anyway.
Is that not just Worthing football?
Yeah.
Some of the games,
It's weird, because me and Ava said it the other day, like most of the teams and most of the issues we have with the teams are all the way through.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. It's just a Worthing way, I guess.
So we've got some really tough games coming up for the first team. Playoffs in our hands. Well, it's out of our hands, really. As we said, it was in our hands. It was now out of our hands. We've got results and goal differences and stuff.
Yeah,
but what...
We've got
games against teams around us though, so yeah, we're bringing back in around.
What's the morale like at the moment? Like, I mean, obviously there's been some losses that have like must have been hard to kick up and get back from, like the absolute ones, games where you probably should have done better, room missed chances and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously I know the morale will be good, we know the boys around the club, but you know, what's the feeling like around the dressing room right now going into this final sort of few weeks of the season?
Yeah, great, to be honest with you. They're all taking the mickey out of each other and
we've seen that tonight.
Nothing ever changes. I think we could lose 10 on the bounce and the changing room would still be the same. It's the characters you've got in there, they're good lads, so I don't think that would ever change. And I think they're all just really looking forward to making the most out of the last few games of the season. I think the Farnborough that game being called off came at a bad time, so obviously the momentum of the Havant game would take us into that in a good place. But I think it's going to get some games in, really.
Yeah, but then could work in our benefit, weekend off with maybe games coming thick and fast.
Yeah, maybe. I think you just want to play football, don't you? Just want to get out there and play football, and like I say, we just beat Havant 3-2 and obviously want to get on play another game, don't we? So I don't know.
And you're one step closer to putting Kit out of the Amex again.
Yeah,
It could be against Bognor. That's probably. Would you rather Bognor? I mean, obviously we've got to beat Hastings first. Bognor, Brighton, Hastings, Worthing. So tough game for us because we know it's a week before 18th. I think it is. Yeah. Okay. So are you a Bognor fan? Well, you're not going to be a fan for one night, but you are sort of. Come on, Bognor, because it'd be great to be a Worthing. I think that'd be amazing. I think it's so much better than the Brighton. We've done the Brighton, as we said, with Hinchard, obviously Jack would be playing, and that would be Hinch wants to get revenge on last year. But I think as a fan, I think you probably agree, Spence. I think most of the Worthing fans, we've missed having Bognor in a weird way. Not missed having Bognor because we're better than them now, but we missed having that game and the atmosphere. And I think a cup final would be just really up for it as well. And
I think you can look at it both ways. Like having a Bognor final would be great because the atmosphere would be amazing, but then getting revenge against Brighton would be also good, wouldn't it? So and beating the best side in the Sussex Senior Cup to win.
Yeah, if you get a big Brighton, you're winning it on merit.
Yeah, exactly. So I think either or, really, to be honest. Looking forward to it. We've got a really good last few weeks of the season, haven't we, really?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I mean, as we said, results go away, we could be giving some board members sort of little heart palpitations, thinking, what if, yeah. Really, we all hope it's what it is. I mean, because we said this time last year we'd take anything just staying up, but to be in and around the playoffs and the real possibility of
probably
being on.
We said this at the start of the season,
It's sitting at the beginning of April talking about playoffs.
Mental. Just from where, I think I've said this before, we need to sometimes just take a step back and realise how far we've come in such a short period of time, because it's just unreal. It's just the level we're at now compared to when I first joined the club, and a lot's down to Hinch, but a lot's down to hard work off the pitch as well, from the volunteers and everything. It's just on a different planet.
Stu, enjoy the last few weeks of the season. Maybe not the last few weeks, and hopefully a bit more. Hopefully into May, because that's what we want.
And then a well-deserved break.
Barry's already changed his holiday, I heard. So he's got faith.
Delayed those flights over to Barbados.
He's mansion out in Barbados. Yeah, so there we go. But we look forward to seeing what happens.
Look forward to it. Cheers, mate.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
He's going to live with that for the rest of his life, isn't he? I scored a penalty against Man United. Actually. Next T-shirt.
Next T-shirt.
I scored a penalty against Man United.
Evans T-shirt.
Yeah. Evans won on the back.
Big picture, Stu on the front.
Yeah, big picture. Just a school kid picture. Let's try and get his family to get him at school. Like a little picture. I'm Stu. Legit. Anyway, thanks for sitting down for Stu. As per usual, good insight into the youth and the sort of scenario and the changing rooms. That kind of starts to run up the end of our podcast. We've been good and we've done one quicker than we normally have this month, Spencer. We've left it 6 weeks rather than 8 to 10 weeks. But as you know, personal lives, everything like that gets in the way sometimes. We try and bring it to you. Pete will probably have underwear washing day next month, do you reckon? His G-string?
That sounds like a pants excuse to me.
Boom. Hopefully it'll be here next month. Hopefully. At the moment, we've got one more plan, which is an end of season podcast. But that could get changed if we make the playoffs. So it would be a podcast special for the playoffs, which we'll speak to you next month. We'll try and get some of the players involved. We'll do something special to sort of celebrate the moment that we hope is coming very soon. It's hard not to get carried away, but it's the dream. to see us. You know, even as I said, like being on BT Sport, they'll televise the eliminators. I mean, imagine seeing BT Sport. That's why Pete won't come on next month, because he'll be asked to do the commentary for BT Sport, and he will never hear the end of that. And apparently, his agent has to get involved or something. He'll have an agent.
Probably
Stu could be his agent. Pete's. If BT Sport, if we get to the eliminators, they'll do coverage here. Pete will try and get on the commentary.
Yeah,
but then we'll be too big. We'll be too big, small for him. Then he'll be big time, though, won't he? But
Tommy
Pete's agent. 90% cut for you, yeah.
No, I'm in charge.
Ah, an honour. Don't massage his ego, Stu. Anyway, we look forward to bringing you a podcast or two in the next couple of months. Hopefully, two. But other than that, some really exciting games coming up. A couple of getaways. Looking forward to Taunton. That'll be a nice way to wrap up the season, full season. Yeah. That'll be a good away day. All the tickets for the WFCSA travel have sold out, which is fantastic. Chesham, I think there's a couple left, but that's like literally you probably wouldn't have listened to this by that
Farnborough
time.
Farnborough is now rearranged.
Farnborough will be rearranged, but tickets will be honoured, and there'll be probably a few spare due to it being a 5 o'clock departure on a Tuesday. But thanks for supporting WFCSA Travel this season. I think, you know, you've really supported the Sports Association. Thanks to Gary for organising it. You know, he's done a really, really good job. And long may it continue, because it will continue next season. You know, we'll get the coaches booked up and everything, which will be fantastic, and bring you affordable, reliable travel. It's been really good. As we said at the beginning, we've got our T-shirt. So if you listen to this before Saturday's match against Braintree, if you listen after, there won't be any left, I guarantee you. So better listen to it early. But if you do listen to this and you might not be able to get to the game, please do give us a message, because we can arrange it if you sort of pay. We've got like a sum up machine, everything like that. But we'll accept cash and card like we did last time. We'll be outside the ground from about 1:45, 2 o'clock, just inside the turnstiles. Anything else from you, Spencer?
No, I prepared a little stat.
Yeah, you had a stat, didn't you? Yeah, you know, that's what I was leading on to. So yeah, when you go no, you meant to you go. Know, yeah, said, I do
said,
have something.
We've said, you know, ups and downs this season, and, you know, the entertainment and things. So, you know, our last four games been 25 goals between both teams. So we're averaging six and a quarter goals per game. So. I'm really looking forward to the 0-0 against Concord tomorrow.
There we go, Mr. Positive over there. No, not with Ollie. Ollie will be wanting to score. He'll be wanting to get to 150 for the end of the season, won't he? Might be a struggle, but thanks to our usual sponsors, MK Window Cleaning, for your sponsor, Price Jones Electrical, and we'll see you around. We'll hopefully see you next month for an extra. Other than that, follow us on Rebel Yell WFCSA. You've got the socials of the Worthing FCSA Sports Association. Follow us for live matchday commentary on rebelyell.live with Pete, and be here for the rest of the season. Come see the running. Come and enjoy the last few games, because it'll be over before you know it, and we'll be having no more football for a few months. Yeah.
That's men and women.
Yes. Get down, 30th of April, Sutton United ground away versus Dartford. Hope to see you there. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to being in. We'll see you around the grounds. Take care.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.